Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Guy Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, I want to share again the commission of the ministry which was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. And he said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there is a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him. Today I'm going to be speaking about entering the kingdom of God now. I suggest that you try and get a copy of the book, The Kingdom of God Now by Joseph Hedgecock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, I'm reading from verses 28 to 31, and he said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in my vineyard.'" In verse 29 it says, "And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented and went." In verse 30, "He came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." Verse 31, "Which of those did do the will of his father?" They said unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." The kingdom of God has existed by the Spirit on this earth for nearly 2,000 years, so people can get forgiveness of sins, so they can come into the light, repent and change, and get ready for his appearing. This is a period of grace to give everyone in every generation a possibility to find God and learn to hear and obey. When Jesus returns again, or when we die, those who lived a life abiding in him and doing his will on earth will get to be part of that kingdom. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 6, we read, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You have to be holy to make the first resurrection. Only those who are consistently repenting and obeying are ready and will not face the second death. They will become priests of God. Being a priest in the kingdom is not something you can study for at a university. You first have to be living in his presence yourself and living the holy life. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You have to live in the light. John said this in 1 John 1:7, "But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If your spiritual life is up and down, then this is because your foundation is not strong enough. You have more faith in your own mind than you do in your ability, by grace through faith, to get in his presence. Immediately, I'd always hear these words from Joseph in his messages. "I am one of the fastest repenters in the business," he would say. Joseph was able to get back in the presence of God immediately. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If you still cannot come in the presence of God, you have some unbelief still, and this will hinder you from entering quickly. Paul said in Hebrews 3:19, "So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief." You believe the truth, but you also have unbelief, which is a lie that you believe to be the truth as well. This is not a lie that you know is a lie. Belief in a lie blocks you from coming back in his presence by faith. The man whose son was demon-possessed and throwing himself into the fire ended up with more faith in the devil's power than he did in God's grace and power. This is why demons like to make a public display that causes doubt and fear and sows lies into people's minds through deception. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." The father of the child was the reason why the disciples could not cast out the demons, because he had to repent of his own unbelief first. His unbelief was giving more power to the demons. But Jesus knew this, and the man's son was delivered. In Matthew 17:20, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to another place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Nothing is impossible if you can release true faith in God and his precious promises and not doubt. Doubts come from unbelief. Doubt is a fruit of being carnal and trying to understand the things of God with your natural mind. So both unbelief and doubt will hinder your faith. Paul said in Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Make sure that you do not have a heart that is hard and stubborn, trying to be successful without God, trying to fulfill some agenda. This will also hinder your faith. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. If you need help in this area, then please read the chapter on hindrances to faith in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. You may have experienced conviction and you want to obey the truth and repent. The devil does not want you to get to the root reason and change. Let's say you started repenting, but you did not get to the root. The devil can use distractions, comforts, good ideas, law-keeping, and ways that seem right to stop you if you are not in the Spirit. If you do not get to the root reason, the bad fruit will grow back again. Then you might even doubt the sanctification process and give up. If you do not believe that something works, it will not work for you. Everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. In Matthew 19 and verse 26, we read, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. You will not find the root of sin if you keep studying God's word using your mind either. You must take no initiative to study any verse except the verse that God brings back to your mind. Paul did not say to study the written word. Paul said to study the word of truth that brings conviction. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the word of truth that we study, not the written word. If you are really studying what you need to study, you will experience the word like this. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Start by recording each verse God brings back to your mind, and then find time to study that verse later when you have more time. Jesus said to his disciples, in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You can start with any verse where God convicts you when reading and put this in your diary. But then on the weekend, go back over your diary and read whatever he said and be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. James said in James chapter 1, verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Any position you get in the kingdom of God comes from hearing and obeying his voice and letting him use you for his glory. Your position now in that kingdom is based on repenting of anything that stops you from obeying. He will honor you and bless you because you did what you were told, but he will not give you his glory. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21, reread. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Only God is good. If you think that you are able to do every good work, pride has already filled your heart. Repent. You were sent here because God chose you to be fruitful and to bring glory to him. The fact that you came to this earth makes you special. The devil was also special, but he blew it. And we know that God created the devil and he became a victim of pride. In the book of Isaiah, we read, this is Isaiah chapter 14. I'm reading from verses 12 to 15. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, and I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. When you chose to listen to God and stay humble, through God you will have a possibility to do something great by faith. This starts now in his kingdom, which is here now by the Spirit and will continue in it uninterrupted if you believe. But it will not happen if you're using your mind. Why would you end up in the grave with the devil as your teacher. The only reason is pride in your heart. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. God even gave you free will so that you could choose him and get to know him now. Not so you could go on and make the decisions yourself and be lord of your own life. That is pride. If you continue in pride, you will suffer the same fate as the devil and his followers. We read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. I'm reading from verses 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And in verse 3 we read, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus also said in John 17 and verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which will believe on me through their word. Jesus didn't just pray for those disciples, he was praying for you. Make up your mind to serve God. Immediately give your free will back to God. You do not just submit for one day and stop because you do not get what you want and behave like some spoilt child. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'm reading verse 7 as well, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God resists the proud. Submit to God now, and the devil will flee. James says in James chapter 4, verse 8, 9, and 10, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9, be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you humble yourself and stay humble, then he can use you. You will also be reigning with him if you overcome the flesh and the devil. We read in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. This verse is talking about people in the great tribulation. Those who miss the first resurrection will end up in the tribulation. This will happen to you as a result of your pride, not because of God judging you. The tribulation is not part of the plan for your life if you are born again. God says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. If you're going through a terrible time now because of your flesh, it's not how it was supposed to be. The people in Revelation 12:11 ended up in the tribulation fighting with the devil. But if you overcome the flesh now, you will overcome the devil. Pick your battles wisely. The devil can only get access to you when you're in the flesh. The devil cannot get access to you in the kingdom. Make no excuses. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." If you end up in the tribulation, then it's because you did not pay the price to enter the kingdom of God now. John said in 1 John 5:4-5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you have evidence now in your life that you have overcome the flesh and the devil? You may be a work in progress, but when you are abiding in Christ daily, you are getting the victory over sin. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Start now with working on whatever offends a holy God. If you are looking for eternal security, overcome the flesh. Jesus said in Revelation 3:5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." When you repent and get to the root, you are an overcomer to depart from evil. You must first overcome the flesh and the devil and see sin passing away. Jesus is the truth, and truth exposes lies in you. Repentance from sin shows that you are not lazy and you have spent time with God getting answers. And he will make you free as you obey the truth by faith. Paul said in Galatians 3, I'm reading from verses 1-3. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Paul continues in Galatians 5:24. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Even if you're born again, there will be a judgment for you. James said it like this in James 5:9, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Jesus is the judge, and he is the one you should be following. You should have come in through the same door as your brother when you got on the narrow way. Did you forget, or did you come some other way? Peter said in 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begun at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" We also read about God's judgment on his own people in the Old Testament. Isaiah 9:17 says, "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Is God happy with you? Can you sense his emotions? Paul said in Romans 8:8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are in the flesh, then God is not happy. But because you are in the flesh, you do not sense his unhappiness. You might sense an uneasiness and loss of peace instead. Peter said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he that which has ordained God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." Peter mentioned two judgments he was told to preach about. Paul said he was also expecting the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Paul described this judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verses 11 to 14. "For no other foundation can a man lay than what is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Verse 14, "And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward." The fire is to test your works, but you can start repenting now. Paul said it like this in 1 Timothy 6 and 14, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." The more you are obeying, the less you have to be corrected daily. Paul says that you will not be rebuked if you are already in the kingdom now. You might not be perfect, but you have entered the kingdom by humbling yourself and confessing all your sin. Then you stay in the kingdom through daily or regular repentance. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Verse 27, "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You cannot be made into the bride without being sanctified with his word. But people do not want correction and repentance. You have to learn many lessons in life. People love to learn about singing, music, and praise, and how to move in the gifts of spirit. But now is the time to learn about repentance. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, and I'm reading to verse 15. Listen, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights." Verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Verse 14, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." Verse 15, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." You will never stop repenting of what God shows you while you are still alive. You can be consistently in right standing with God up to the last day through regular repentance. This is only possible with the chastening of the Lord. Everything you repent of now will equate to something you will have for eternity. Everything you are holding on to now will cause something to be stolen in eternity. In other words, lost forever, because time does not exist there. You should be working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Paul says in Philippians 3:9, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The best time to enter is now. We read in Matthew 21 and verse 42 to 44. And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Many will be left behind at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they realize they were left behind, they will be totally broken, and the scripture will be fulfilled. Jesus said that the kingdom was removed from the Jews because they were not producing the fruits. The same thing will happen to the church very soon. Paul said in Romans 11 and 20, I'm reading from Romans chapter 11, from verse 20 to 22. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. But be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Paul here was talking about the Jews and the church. The fact that you are born again means that you have received the Holy Spirit and divine nature. Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is not the problem. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is the problem. You were given the Holy Spirit so that you could produce the fruit of the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. Also Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. A lack of fruit is a sign that you are either lazy or you're following a way that seems right. Jesus said about the lazy servant in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou art wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. For more information on ways that seem right, please read the book Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. In Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. After the tribulation, Jesus will rule for 1,000 years and prove that he knows best how to run this planet. He will turn the earth into a paradise again in just a few months after mankind has made a mess of everything by listening to the devil. If you cannot trust him to make a paradise in your own life in just 70 years, how can you rule and reign over others and do it for 1,000 years? The kingdom is here now. Make no excuses. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. During the rule of Christ, there will be no poverty, no disease, no sickness while he is in charge. People will be amazed at how Jesus does this without any special power or miracles. He will just apply the laws of God in the way it should have been applied, and the earth will heal. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The accumulation of your faith is Jesus living in you now, setting up his kingdom in you now. Do not deceive yourself. A changed life is the outworking of your faith. You will have a new character that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. People will not recognize you. This is what qualifies you to rule and reign with him. You have to keep asking God for truth and having faith in God's commands. As you obey, you will change. Don't be like Thomas. In John 14 and 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? When you are just obeying his commands, then you trust him and you are getting ready for the kingdom of heaven. This is the way. If you have to understand with your mind first, then you have Thomas faith. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 24 down to verse 29. This is John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Verse 27, then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and hold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Jesus did not come to those disciples when Thomas was there in the upper room. God rarely reveals himself to people who want to understand with their mind the things of God. Science also has to see something first, then they can record it as scientific fact. But they also believe that there is no God. But God is exalted now, and who will be the fool when they realize? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The psalmist says in Psalm 53, verse 1, The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. Corrupt are they that have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. I believe anyone who says or believes that God does not exist is a fool. When man sees Jesus in Jerusalem ruling, it will be too late. Man did not come from monkeys. This is not a fact. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Never disagree with the word of God. Adam was created. We read in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You were formed in your mother's womb. You were not created. This is what Jeremiah says. God sends the Spirit, and he is in control of who is formed in the mother's womb, not man. Jesus turned the water into wine without adding a chemical. Miracles are happening today, but mainly in third world countries where there is a great need and where there is no one around to release unbelief. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." The word called is only an invitation. If you keep behaving like Thomas and want to see and understand with your mind first, you may not be invited to rule and reign with Christ. Solomon said in Proverbs 8 and 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Those who do not fear God have a froward mouth. Some assume the poor people are weak in their understanding, and that's why they turn to God. But James says in James chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Verse 10, "But the rich in that he is made low, because he is as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." Verse 11. "For the sun is no longer risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways." Your mind should always be set on things above. The things of the world will not satisfy. If you're always running after money, read this. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. "Lo, everyone that is thirsty, come. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come. Ye buy and eat, and ye come. Buy wine and milk, and without money and without price." Verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat, and that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." If you're buying the latest or most expensive things in this world, then be careful. James 4 and 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of this world is the enemy of God." Paul also said in Philippians 4 and 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." The 1,000 years will bring honor to the Son, because he is the truth. You can benefit from the Spirit now as well by rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are spiritual, you have stopped using your mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not your own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Do you believe that Jesus is really Lord right now? Or do you just confess him as Lord? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father is in heaven." If he is Lord now, then he is ruling already. This means that anyone on this earth now who is making decisions himself, using their own mind about their own lives, is in a state of rebellion. Since the day of Pentecost, the kingdom has been here. This is the kingdom of God now on this earth. Wake up. Time is running out. If his kingdom were here now in physical or visible form, those making decisions would be arrested for high treason. Jesus is the one who created you, and he made the heavens. He is Lord of all. In Philippians 2, 9, 10, 11, we read, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." Verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." Verse 11. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." One day everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord at the end when the books are opened. But that is after you've seen everything happen and you're now facing the judgment. No one will be cast into the lake of fire before that time. So up to that last day, you are alive and you have a chance to repent of your own lordship. But the devil was not given free will, so he cannot change. The devil rebelled because of pride, and he cannot come to repentance. You have a free will, so use it to repent before time runs out completely for you to do the will of God. If you are wise, you will give your free will back to God. Paul was not entertaining people with his messages, so he had some sad faces in the congregation, and his messages were spicy. He preached like this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Listen. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." This is powerful preaching. If you want to be saved from everlasting destruction, then you must, number one, enter the narrow way. That's experiencing trouble but living in a state of rest now. Number two, take time to know God using the gift of eternal life. Number three, obey the gospel of God and come to God now and enter the kingdom of God. You are also not saved just because you are born again. Paul also said, in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 29 to 31. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Verse 30. "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people." Verse 31. "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." This is talking about God judging his own people. Everyone who does not make Jesus Lord will face the judgment at the end just because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many want Jesus to be their Savior and carry on making the decisions and be Lord of their own lives. And that is not faith. James said in James chapter 2 and verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" James 2 and 26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you believe on the Lord Jesus and still do your own will, you are deceiving yourself and not understanding your salvation. You might say you believe with your heart or your mind that Jesus is the Son of God, but if you believe something with your mind, it will not change you. If you believe something with your heart, it will rule you. There will be a corresponding change, and that means you start obeying Jesus and his servants. Paul was a true servant of God, and he said this in Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus is Lord now and ruling now. He is the rightful owner of this planet. You were sent here to help set up his kingdom ready for his arrival. Jesus said to the Jews in Matthew 21, I'm reading from verses 33 to 41. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around and about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandman and went into a far country. Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruit of it. Verse 35, and the husbandman took his servants, beat one and killed another and stoned another. Verse 36, and again he said other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Verse 37, but last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Verse 38, but when the husbands saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. Verse 39. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Verse 40. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Verse 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. According to this verse, anyone who has not taken care of the vineyard and produced the fruit that is required will be put outside the vineyard. The vineyard is the kingdom of God now. And this was given to the Jews initially, but they would not produce the ripe fruit. So it was given to the church. Time is now running out for the church to produce the fruit needed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some believe that you just need to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But this is based on just one verse where Jesus said in John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you going to put all your full faith on just one verse in the Bible and ignore all the other things Jesus said? This verse does not even say that if you are born again, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. It just says you will be able to see or visit the kingdom. We read a bit further. In John 3 and 5, Jesus answers him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In this verse, there are two things you have to do to enter. Not one thing, like most people believe. Becoming like a little child is also necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3, And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become like a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be able to become lowly, submissive, and trusting, as described in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We read this verse as well. Proverbs 3 and 7 says, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Paul also described this foundation for the church of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're not departing from iniquity, then you have not entered the kingdom of heaven. You have not made him Lord. When sin is departing, then this is the real evidence that you believe on the name of Jesus. Some leaders once asked John Wesley this question, Why are we not more holy? And John Wesley, addressing his preachers, said, Chiefly because we are enthusiasts looking for the end without the means. God always starts at the end. You must examine yourself, and you're not producing the fruit, then you are deceiving yourself, thinking that you will not perish. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, 9, I'm reading from verses 9 to 13. In 2 Peter 3, 9, he said, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Verse 11, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I believe that the Lord directed me to record strong messages. You can listen to Joseph Hedgecock or myself and just get puffed up with more knowledge from good teaching. But these messages are designed to bring people back to their first works. Time is running out and people need to come to repentance. Joseph Hedgecock says in the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 9 on page 111, a false minister will say, I'm okay, you're okay. The underlying theme of such a pastor's ministry will be to please self instead of God. Most of the sermons will be based on what you can receive from your walk with God rather than what you can do to please him. Anyone can come to repentance without these special messages. If they are following Jesus on the narrow way, he is correcting them, and they are hungry and submitted. Jesus is setting tests and challenges for people on the narrow way so that they do not perish with the world. Jeremiah 29:13 says, Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. This verse was given to Charles Finney, a great American revivalist, at his conversion to Christ. He started on the narrow way. He spent time with God and only wanted to please God in his gospel message and not men. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he will sup with me and he with me." Knocking and seeking is part of getting on the narrow way too. But you have to do it now and not at the very end. Jesus said in Luke 13:25, "When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock and at the door saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us,' and he shall answer and say unto you, 'I know you not from whence you are.' Now is the time to knock on the door of the kingdom of heaven and find out what is required to enter the kingdom. Only the foolish will not make him Lord now. Do not leave everything to the last minute. It's hard to learn that way. You will not find the narrow way when you have just a little time left." Jesus said in Matthew 7:13 and 14, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Many evangelical churches teach that all you have to do is be born again, but this reduces Christianity to just a single religious experience. And Jesus said in Luke 9:23 and 24, "And he said unto them, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Verse 24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Baptism is not a religious ceremony either. You should be seeking baptism, but not before you have some fruit of repentance. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Baptism is a funeral service for the old nature, and it's not just a ceremony. Paul also said to the Galatians to start in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." By obeying the Spirit all the time, you will not be drawn away by the lust of your flesh and end up sinning. The flesh and the Spirit are opposite, so if you ever get in the flesh, you are not in the Spirit. James says in James chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, he says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." Verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Verse 18. "And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures." On the narrow way, you have to face many challenges he sets before you and overcome. He provides the daily bread, because now you cannot just go shopping when you like. He is your heavenly Father now. Jesus is Lord, and he is the bread of life. This works by faith. So you have to believe that he will drop the right thoughts into your mind and just obey. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, 8 to 11. This is the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. You do not have to make any provision for your own needs. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. And as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. You have to use the gift of eternal life and get to know him now. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. It is important to make sure that you accept that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart. To disobey him has serious consequence, even eternal damnation. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, 12, 13 and 14, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God has gone to great efforts just to give you a taste of the kingdom. David said in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. David said, just tasting the kingdom is not enough. Instead, you have to learn to trust God. You should realize that he has given all that you need to obey him now, and work out your salvation in fear and trembling, and make no excuses. All you have to do is make sure that you reverently and carefully obey the things he's telling you to do, and God will do the rest. You do not need to go back to your mind and try and work it out. Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you help God a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help at all, he can do anything through you. If you really believe that Jesus is Lord, you would fear God. In Matthew 10, 28, it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus also taught us to fear God, as we might be cast into hell if we do not deal with that which is causing us to sin. Paul said to the church in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was preaching that every time through sin you make another appointment with death, only by repentance from sin can you change that appointment. You have to use the gift of eternal life, which includes the confession of sin, to get back in his presence. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not by confessing your sins that the appointment with death is cancelled. You have to stop sinning by making him Lord. Jesus owns you completely, both through creation and now through redemption, and he has every right to be Lord of your life. We read in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church, which he has purchased with his own blood. The sign that you're on track is that you are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is not shrink-wrap Christianity or religion. You still have to obey the Spirit of truth. This is now inside you since you are born again. You should know what conviction is like. If not, then have you really received the Spirit of God? Paul said in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. If you are trying to avoid more correction, you are no longer sealed with the Holy Spirit. You must submit and be obedient to the Spirit, or you will perish. He knows how to get you ready. You may have received the Spirit, but you also have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul is speaking here about living in the Spirit so that the devil cannot get to you. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, on Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then there is evidence. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know that you are your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Verse 6, but I trust that you know that we are not reprobates. The reprobates in Strong's means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul's hope was based on Christ living inside him, not on a prayer said correctly. He said this in Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 18, 19 and 20. He said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Verse 20, and at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Jesus said this to his disciples in the upper room. Christ comes inside when you follow, being a committed disciple, seeking God for commandments, and hearing his voice. Jesus also said in John 14, 21, 22, and 23, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22, and Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus will come to you when you seek him for commandments. Do this now before it's too late. When Jesus sets up his kingdom on this earth, those who are still alive will see the Lord in person. He will then rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years and make all the decisions as Lord. Those who are ruling and reigning with him will be enforcing those decisions on earth's inhabitants. Those on the earth will taste his goodness and wisdom. and there will be no reason for them to doubt his lordship. In Revelation 20 and verse 7 we read, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. For 1,000 years the devil is locked up while Jesus is ruling on this earth. During this time, man will only have to choose between obeying Jesus or using their own mind. If they do not obey Jesus, then there will be some correction as well." In Revelation 20, verses 8 and 9, verse 8, "And the devil shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed about the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." There may be grace now for being deceived. However, in the book of Revelation, we are told at the end of Jesus' reign, for 1,000 years, there is no mercy. Fire will come down, and I believe that all those who were deceived will end up in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels, saying, "You have accepted Jesus your Savior," will not save anyone then. The best way to be sure you do not end up in the lake of fire is to start removing all the accesses that the devil has to you now through repentance and stop sinning. If you really believe that he is the Son of God, you will now surrender all to him and just trust and obey. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us as we are, yet without sin." Salvation comes by accepting his authority over your life, trusting him to raise you up at the last day. Only if he's Lord of your life can he save you. If you are Lord of your own life, you are trying to be saved by works, and no one is saved by doing works. If you're still sinning and being tempted easily, then he is not Lord of your life. Did you really believe Jesus is the Son of God in your heart or just your mind? In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 31, we read, and this was Paul speaking as well, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Will you be saved when Jesus comes back and be part of the first resurrection? All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Amplified Bible, in Acts 16, 31, it says this, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved." So this means that to be saved, you have to, number one, give yourself up to him and make him Lord of your life. Number two, stop looking after yourself and your own needs. And number three, then listen to him and put yourself in his keeping. Hallelujah. If you want to learn to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit and start learning conviction and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on and stay on the narrow path, the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road now. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock, the revised edition, is now available in English. If this message has been speaking to you today and you feel troubled in your spirit, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is creating holy emotions. He is speaking. And when you begin on the narrow way, when you start on the narrow way, you're going to feel these holy emotions. God is going to convict you and move in your spirit. You must cling to those holy emotions. You must recognize that God is speaking and telling you to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I believe God is speaking all the time. He is transmitting His perfect will for every child of His. That kingdom is here now. Maybe you're thinking one day you will make it. One day you will be there in the kingdom. But actually, the kingdom is here now. Somewhere you've got to recognize that what you've been looking for is right here next to you. And that if you're hearing His voice, that is evidence that you have already entered the kingdom. And as long as you keep obeying, then you'll keep hearing that voice and you'll keep obeying that, what He is telling you to do. You can hear from your Father, you can hear from Jesus, you can hear from the Holy Spirit, but most of all, you need to trust in God and rely on the Holy Spirit to show you and help you what to do next. He has been given to you as a helper, as a teacher, as a comforter, as your guide, to help you understand the next task, the next thing. Please, if you need the Holy Spirit, pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I'm praying for anyone who's listening to this message. They know they need the Holy Spirit. They're asking for the Holy Spirit to come in. And I'm believing that you'll answer that prayer. For those who've hardened their hearts and now they can't feel the Holy Spirit working in them, convicting them, I pray for their hearts to be softened right now, so that the Holy Spirit can guide them into all truth, that they can become a new creation, obedient and pleasing unto you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I really hope you've enjoyed this message. We will have some summary afterwards of the scriptures, but also, if you want to be in touch with us, please get in touch with us. Send us an email. We may be able to help you. Recommend some wonderful books to read that will encourage you to really walk with the Lord. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.